So one of the first things I want to point out that a lot of people don't know, Jay, is like I knew you from The Tonight Show because you came out to L.A. in the mid-70s. Is that about right?
Yeah, early 70s, yeah.
Okay. And because you grew up in New York and...
Well, I was born in New York, but I really grew up in Massachusetts. I lived in New York till I was 9 years old. Then we moved to Andover, Massachusetts, which is about 30 miles north of Boston. It's near the New Hampshire border. I mean, now there's Route 495 and Route 93. But by then, it was just a kind of a sleepy little kind of agricultural town. Now it's one of those, you know, $5 chocolate chip cookie towns, you know, that's within commuting distance of Boston because since the freeways went in there, or the highways, as they call them back east. But, yeah, it was a pretty quiet place.
So who were you in high school? I mean, you know, you talk about the class clowns, and I don't think comedians ever end up – they weren't the class clowns. Is that about right? Successful comics? I just don't hear that.
No, that is completely wrong, actually. I was a class clown.
Really?
You know what's interesting? I was lucky. I grew up in a – I had very good teachers. I had teachers that were career teachers. You know, here in L.A. – people teach high school for 2 years and they write a screenplay. Or I'm just doing this again. I'm working on room 222, so I'm teaching for a couple of years. You know, but I had career teachers, and I remember, and I'm dyslexic, so I was a terrible student. Jay has the ability, but does not apply himself. You know, and
sure.
So one day, Mrs. Hawks, who I thought was probably 70, but she's probably 30 when I was, you know, 14 or 15.
Right.
She pulled me aside in the hall and she said, you know, I always see you joking around and telling jokes and things. I want you to take my creative writing class. Instead of English, instead of taking regular English class, we'll give you credit for your creative writing class. And why don't you write down some of these funny stories that you always seem to be telling people in the hall and you read them to the class. And I went, oh, okay. And for the first time in my life, I actually enjoyed doing homework. It was like I went home and I wrote the story out and then I read it to myself. No, let me change that to this. And, you know, and it was the most time at it because I always did homework. Excuse me, is this going to be on the test? No? Okay, thanks. And, you know, that was my attitude. But this time I really enjoyed doing homework. And I went to class and I got up and I read the story. And, you know, it was a kid's thing. So it got some laughs. It was okay. And she said, oh, have you ever thought of being maybe a comedy writer or maybe even a comedian? And when you grow up in a little town – near the New Hampshire border, the idea of being a what? Being on TV? I don't know what. I remember Mrs. Langdell, my next door neighbor, said, you can't be a comedian unless your father was a comedian. That's the law in California. That's the way it works. Your father has to have been a comedian.
Right.
You know, and I thought, well, okay. And I thought, well, I guess I'll never be a comedian. But I remember Mrs. Hawks is very helpful. And sadly, like 6 or 7 years later, she died of breast cancer. And I set up a scholarship for her for kids that are, you know, a little different or maybe have some skill that's not readily visible. And it's still going to this day. And I was very lucky. You know, I grew up in that kind of town, like Mr. Robichaud and all the teachers I had. When I went back to my 20th reunion, they were still in the same home room that
wow.
we were in back in 1968. I mean, it was hilarious. And so I was very grateful for that. I was fortunate. So to answer your question, yes, I was the class clown, but I did obviously go on to be a comedian.
So before you moved out here, how many years were you doing stand-up out there?
My first time I got on stage was, I think, October 19th, 1969. I used to perform at a little club called Lenny's on the Turnpike in Boston. I was in a comedy group for a while. But the trouble with the comedy group, you got five or six people. Some want to work hard. Some are kind of lazy. And consequently, so I was, we had a gig this week. What do you want to get two gigs this week for? And it was like, no, let's get. So I only did that for a few months, and then I started to try and get out on my own. And I went to the Bitter End in New York and the Improv in New York. You see, this is before, back in the very late 60s, early 70s, America was very serious. It was Vietnam. You know, colleges, it was all, stop your war machine, man, you know, walking with the signs.
Right.
And then that was sort of what, there's like, what they used to call it, what they used to have in Boston was you had literally hundreds of colleges with thousands of students with no money willing to be entertained by people with no talent. So, you know, they would put two candles in the cafeteria, that would become the Two Toke Cafe on a Saturday, and students would perform for other students, you know.
Right.
So, nobody's doing comedy. I remember one guy had that thing where you put your flashlight under your chin, you turn it on, click, stop your war machine, man, click, and then run to the other side of the room.
Right.
Stop your war machine. And this is what that was his serious sort of poetic interpretation.
Of course.
You know, so that's what it was. So doing comedy was really odd. I mean, I went to Emerson College, which was a good school, but it was a dramatic school. It was for the arts. But comedy was not considered the arts then. Now they have a huge comedy program. You know, Stephen Wright and a whole bunch of other people came out of there. But back when I was there, it didn't seem, nobody really took comedy as a profession seriously. So I didn't pay much attention. I was working gigs at night. I drive to New York almost every night of the week to try to get on the Improv and then drive back in time to be in class in the morning. And that's sort of how I got started.
So what made you decide to come out here to L.A.?
Well, what made me come out here was we all used to go to the Improv. And this is so funny because it's before VCRs, it's before cassette, before you could record a program.
You're talking about the New York Improv, New York City one.
Yeah, New York Improv. Mm-hmm. If somebody was on TV, you had to physically get to a TV at the time they were on, which seems ridiculous now.
Right.
But like when if a comedian was on The Tonight Show, we'd go to the bar at the Improv at 11:30 and we'd turn it on and wait for the comedian to come on, you know. And Johnny was still in New York.
Right.
Then I think in 71 or 72, that was the last nail in the coffin. Johnny decided to move The Tonight Show to California. He'd been coming here for years for 3, 4, 5 weeks at a time.
Right.
Then they decided to move the whole show to California. And that left a huge void because there was nothing in New York. Now there's been a resurgence. You got the Today Show and all kinds of TV shows coming out of New York City. But in the early 70s, everything just went to California. And we figured, well, The Tonight Show was really the only show to be on. I mean, we did Merv Griffin and Mike Douglas, but The Tonight Show is the one that made you. So we said, well, let's go to where the show is. You know?
And you say we. So the other we's, who are we? What comics are we talking
about?
I'm
talking all the comedians, Richard right. Lewis, everybody. Mm-hmm. I remember one time. Sonny and Cher came into the Improv, and they were looking for comedians. And we all auditioned. We didn't get it. The only one that got it was Richard Lewis. We were so happy for Richard.
Out of all you guys, it was Richard Lewis.
Well, I'll tell you the story. It's so stupid. Okay. And so, yeah, because he was further along than most of us. I remember once I was in New Jersey at a gas station. I saw the Bergen County News on it. So local comedian, Richard Law, I'd love to meet this guy sometime. So I went to the Improv, you're the guy in the Bergen County. You know, so we got to be friends. And anyway, we all auditioned for Sonny and Cher. And then we heard Lewis got it. He got flown to California to be on Sonny and Cher. So, this is going to be great, you know.
Right.
So I can't remember what night of the week Sonny and Cher was. It might have been a Saturday night. It shows you how things change. That was a big night for television.
Oh.
So we're all at the Improv at 8 or 9 o'clock, whatever time we're waiting for Richard Lewis to come on, you know. And then we see a sketch where it's like five people dressed as the Fruit of the Loom people. And I think Richard was a tomato or something. And he kind of danced across. And we're all like, hey. Oh.